Placing his fingertips on the cool, wet asphalt, Leo crouched in the long grass, his young eyes steeled for a hint of movement. His ragged breath came in deep, huge gasps as his lungs ached for oxygen and his skin was slick with a hot sheen of sweat. Wiping his face with his forearm, he groaned. The smell of dank soil and precipitation hung heavily in the air. First day of the summer holidays, and I'm doing this. He shot a cautious glance behind him, his eyes scanning the squashed mud and trampled brush in his wake. Even in the evening gloom, his footsteps stood out like several haphazard beacons on the slippery ground. The indentation lined with bent grass and toppled bushes, their twisted roots wrenched from their moorings. If anyone happened to stumble on his messy footprints, he'd be discovered immediately. Stealth hadn't entered the equation that currently possessed his horrified mind. He'd been running for 30 frantic minutes, but it felt like forever. But why are you running? Why? Pausing, he tried to take in the immense darkness around him, to observe his strange surroundings, but the deep dancing shadows in the heavy night sky denied him. The soft throbbing at the base of his skull wasn't helping either. His equilibrium shot. Leo tried to compose himself. It didn't work. You need to keep moving. Don't stop. Don't stop for anyone. Mom's words. Mom's always right. Leo rubbed his face and breathed out slowly. He breathed in and dispersed the air once again. It whistled on his lips, and he reveled in the familiarity of the process, one he used to calm himself whenever he was preparing for something difficult, a football game, a long walk, spending time with his annoying cousins, the last boss on a video game. The breathing routine never failed to work. Except for now. He still felt scared, and trembling sensations that made him uneasy, a feeling that threatened to upend his stomach and splatter his dinner onto the road before him. He wiped his sweaty hands on his legs and looked around. Decisive, searching for his next destination. The terror seemed to enhance his approaching headache, the throbbing a little more severe with every passing second. The road. Follow it. The cornfield, perfect cover. Back the way you came? Not a chance. Leo rubbed his neck and groaned once more, his choices limited and his decision made. The cornfield was the only option. It provided adequate cover both to him and his footsteps if he went about it carefully. He needed to proceed with caution and in moderate silence. Most of all, he needed to stay hidden. Less elephant, more gazelle. You can do this. You're only 11. You ain't nothing at all. Leo breathed out, repeating his process. This time it helped ease the terror inside him. He felt his confidence rising, his boldness growing. Despite this, he wished he wasn't alone. He wished his mother was by his side. Wish all you want. She isn't here. Now get ready. Leo shook his head and tensed his legs. One. Two. Go. Placing a foot on the road, he stepped forward. A bright flashlight cut a swath through the air, inches from his face, making him jump. Leo spun on the ground, performing a feeble limbo in an attempt to duck beneath the intrusive beam. A stunted movement that sent him crashing into the cornfield. The stalks groaned and cracked as his small frame forced them apart before he landed abruptly on his rump. The breath knocked out of him, he scrambled to his feet. He stood up, darting deeper into the forest. Hey, over there! You got him? I heard something. This field, here. Leo clasped his hands to his mouth in terror and ran, no longer bothered about stealth or silence. The strange baritone voices, which were uncomfortably close, drove him forward and froze his insides. He slipped between the tall stalks, the heads whispering quietly in the low wind. He imagined 1,000 vegetables partaking in an illegible conversation, oblivious or all-seeing to his plight. Leo felt a weak smile break his terrified grimace and a sharp pain behind his ribs work in tandem with his throbbing skull, but he kept going. I found something. Shit. Pick it up. Faster. Leo settled into a speedy walk, darting and sliding between the stalks like a person avoiding others in a crowd. Making headway, he glanced upwards and realized the moon was growing, edging nearer. Well, he was edging nearer. His vision seemed to clear, to magnify and sharpen twofold, but he suspected it was his active imagination. As he progressed, the corns became thicker, less maintained and closer together. Feverish green spikes and leaves started to slap at his arms and legs, and he held a forearm before him to protect his eyes. Shall I stop and hide? No, keep going. You need to get away. Mom's words, remember? Leo nodded. His mother's gentle voice returned to him, playing on a loop in his mind's eye. Her wisdom was always faultless. It had steered him right in life so far. He had no reason to think that she was lying to him. Keep going. Leo broke free of the corn and emerged in a vast open space. His feet slapped the dirt and sent a small plume into the humid air before him. He stopped, startled, aware that he was suddenly exposed. He glanced up, his eyes searching for a helicopter or a plane or people with flashlights, but he saw no one. Even a drone would be visible from here, but he didn't want to think about the alternative. Looking behind him, he saw the weak glow of multiple flashlights in the darkness. Beyond the corn and back on the road he had deserted moments ago, his eyes scanned left and noticed a large wooden gate with a steel chain adjacent to the field, the same long road swerving behind it. We'll find you. Keep going. His weary eyes still on the gate, his legs took him towards a run-down red barn, the wood faded and battered. What was once a magnificent structure was now ancient, aged, and neglected in the modern day. The pungent smell of hay and cow manure made him recoil and draw a tear to the eye, but he meandered on. His safety a priority. As he scooted around the barn, he became aware of muffled voices. The farmhouse came as a shock, the lights inside even more so. Shit! Leo slided into the shadows of the barn and watched the house, his path blocked. Do I knock? Can I? His answer came in the objective groan of a wooden gate, and he realized that the strange pursuers with flashlights had located the farmland. Another groan signaled the closure of the gate. He heard patient footsteps crunching on pebbles as the unseen people made their way onto the property. Leo moved deeper into the shadows of the barn, hiding behind two hay bales and rusted tractor. He leant against the huge tire and sat in the indented hubcap, which shielded him from sight. Peeking between several holes in the hay bales, he saw two tall figures walking to the door of the farmhouse. Their footsteps deviated from crunching to clonking as they moved onto the concrete pathway. Shit. Go back? No. Stay. They don't know that you're here. Leo watched as the two figures lowered their heads and conversed. The words lost to him. After a moment, one walked away and knocked on the front door as the second turned and scanned the surrounding area. Leo didn't move and closed his eyes for a second. Instinct took over, but the man didn't shout or point at the hidden boy. A silent moment passed before a door opened and a chubby woman stepped into frame, her wide, farm-worn figure glowing a pale orange in the porch light. She scanned the two men, a curious look on her face.
May I help you?
Ma'am, we're the police. How's your evening?
It's okay.
Confusion taking over. Ma'am, do you live alone?
I do. This here's my house.
Have you seen a little boy around here? 11 years old, this high, he said, holding his hand to his stomach. Brown hair, kind of goofy looking.
Goofy? Who's he calling goofy?
Leo leaned to the side and pressed his face to the barn wall, the wood fresh on his cheek. He couldn't avert his eyes from the scene. The woman shook her head.
No, you're the first visitors in my home in days.
The man nodded. We suspect the boy is unhinged. Dangerous. He could be a threat to your life. Are you sure?
Yes,
the woman confirmed. She glanced around, spotting the second man. Her shoulders hitched an inch and she tensed.
I don't mean to pry, but can I see some identification?
Yeah, sure. With that, the man pulled a silenced pistol from his waistband and shot the woman in the face. From the violent spit of the bullet, her body crashed back into the house, colliding loudly with some unseen furniture. Leo heard glass smash, something heavy thump on the wooden floor. He slapped a hand over his mouth, cupping the terrified scream that almost gave him away. Leo almost choked as he restrained himself. His hand clasped tight across his lips. His skull began to pound like an independent heartbeat. Not again. Not again. He clutched his head, trying to ease the throbbing with his palms. What's wrong with me? The man holstered the weapon and turned to his companion. Must be back that way. Yeah, what about the cornfield? Worth a shot. We would have heard him, though. We'll check anyway. Hey, we can't risk him getting away. Leo tensed, his face now pale, as the two figures disappeared around at the other side of the barn, but he bit his fingers, willing himself not to cry. After that moment, Leo emerged from the shadows, using the huge building to hide. Once he heard the familiar crash of corn stalks, he sped across the farm, heading to the left side of the house. Please have a car. Please. You can't drive. Besides, it'll give you away. As he ran towards the dark Ford Sierra, its silver moniker glowing in the boot of the vehicle, Leo realized he was right. There was no point in killing himself or betraying his presence. Scanning the dirty license plate, he placed a hand on the cool roof, contemplating and carrying on. Contemplating and carrying on. You need to keep moving. Moms, I know they're mom's words. Fuck off. Grasping the side of his head with both hands, Leo shook it, pushing the thoughts away. Mom knows best. Leo emerged at the end of a dirt driveway, with another road stretching out before him. The asphalt was cracked and broken, the dark surface worn from years of use. Beyond it stood a vast woodland and a number of shadowy structures. He recognized several as homes, probably more farmhouses with adjoining barns. A purple glow illuminated the sky beyond them, and he wondered, what lie over yonder? Several small wind turbines rolled and creaked in the night. He had no choice. Leo sprinted across the road and slipped through a wooden fence. The placement of the three horizontal wooden beams reminded him of the ropes on a wrestling ring. He ducked under the middle beam, the coarse surface gripping at his soggy t-shirt, and continued his plight, hoping he might survive or jump off a turnbuckle one more time. It's SummerSlam tomorrow. Please let me be home for it. Leo felt his feet submerge into soft mud. The squelch propelled a putrid stench into the air. Ignoring it, he continued forward, climbing a steep incline with tired legs. The upwards journey was tedious, slow. His exhausted legs threatened to give out at any second. Wiping his forehead with his arm, the incline suddenly straightened out and sent him sprawling. Looking back beyond his feet, he recognized the glisten of fresh mud on his Reeboks. He noticed the cornfield, which now sat below him in the distance, partially hidden by the barn. The roaming flashlight scanned back and forth between the stalks, strobing in silence. He saw the edge of the tractor, the now vacant farmhouse with the lights on. He also saw a figure staring at him, standing on the dirt driveway, watching him. A chill ran up his spine. The figure didn't move, didn't attempt to follow him. It just stared, and although Leo couldn't see the stranger's eyes in the darkness, since it was backlit by the house itself, he could feel the weight of its terrifying gaze. Two unseen eyes watching him, studying him. Leo felt a guttural groan rise up from within, a sound that trembled his stomach and clutched at the inside of his dry throat. He felt his wobbly legs move beneath him, his body spurred on by the eerie sight. He had to get away. This was the stuff of visceral nightmares and horror movies, the films his mother tried to prevent him from watching. He was being stalked by something. He didn't know what. His young brain couldn't process it. And had it not been for his mother's warning, he would have been captured ages ago, and now they knew his whereabouts. Move. Move. Now. Leo straightened up and climbed to his feet, his legs engaging with his brain once again. Prying his weary eyes from the eerie stranger, he ducked beneath another fence, the loop around from the previous one, and moved back towards civilization. Who was that? What was that? Leo thought about another question, one that raised the goose flesh on his young skin. Why didn't he follow me? Because you're a kid. He knows he can't catch you. He's not stupid. He's hunting you. He's playing with you. It's a game. The young boy emerged between two long brick buildings. On further inspection, he recognized the flat metal indents of several garage doors, several in each building, all of which were closed. The colors of the doors varied, although the darkness distorted them somewhat, but all looked battered and old. The concrete before them was smeared with oil stains and sand, the latter of which crunched beneath his feet. he continued his unending journey. He rubbed the base of his sweaty neck, the soft flesh malleable to his touch. The throbbing had advanced to a dull ache and pulsed routinely. He groaned as one such vibration crippled his body and almost dropped him to his knees. I should have taken a tablet. Mom would know how to make me feel better. Mom. Crossing a small road between six bungalows, Leo remembered his mother's warning in full, a message delivered to him in horrified haste. His wet eyes scanned the homes before him, taking in the glowing curtains and muffled TV noises, sounds that wrenched him back to reality and reminded him of his normal life. A tear finally rolled down his cheek as he remembered his mother's words to him. Her final words.
Leo, my son, you run and don't stop. Don't get lured in by them, you hear? They're persuasive and cunning and relentless. Don't get close. Don't listen to a word they say. I love...
Her sentence was cut off by a silenced bullet. One that shattered their living room window, collapsed her skull, sprayed the wall with her brains. He remembered his mother's beautiful face, folding in on itself, her left eye disappearing into her head as her skull gave way to the power of physics and the bullet that killed her. He turned away at the sound, but not fast enough, and knew that the grotesque image would haunt his dreams for years to come. Well, if he survived the night. Who was chasing him? The men in black were familiar, but why? And then it clicked. His eyes roamed to an open front door, then the occupant placed a black bin bag on the stoop. The man looked up, paid Leo no heed, and retreated back into his house. The door closed with a thump.
The door! Of course! They visited the house yesterday!
It had left Mother in a terrible state. She'd been quiet and sad for several hours, which was very unlike her. He observed from the sanctuary of the bottom stair, hidden by the alcove of the downstairs toilet. At the time of his mother's death, Leo had thought nothing of it. Everything had moved so fast at that moment. His body skipped the shock period and took him straight into the fight-or-flight phase, on heed of his mother's well-timed warning. Luckily for him, his mother's words had spurred him to the latter. Leo was opening the back door and running for his life before his mother's dead corpse came to rest on the living room carpet. Her words kind of made sense now.
Shit! What do they want? They want me. Why? I'm an 11-year-old boy. Who knows? Who cares?
Just run, Leo muttered to himself as he disappeared between two scraggly bushes. He pushed into a dark, narrow alleyway between two wooden fences, ignoring the security lights that flickered on behind them. The sensory technology curious at his presence. They cast a sharp, angular shadow onto the narrow pathway, and Leo merged into it. He moved deeper into the alley, seeking refuge in the bowels of the town. Keeping off the main road seemed like a logical solution, one that would protect him from prying eyes and potential threats. Besides, the alley led to his favorite spot, a mangled tree with wide branches, a spindly edifice with decades of history and rich character. He'd spent a lot of his childhood there, reading books and observing nature, and gazing at the town he called home. He'd even shared his first kiss with a girl there. Pretty redhead called Zoe.
They're after me. Then it's my fault that... Wait, your spot! You're following routine!
A squeal of tires made him flinch, and he leapt backwards, his back slapping the rough surface behind him. A set of piercing headlights blocked the cusp of the alley. Like two eyes searching for their prey, their patient gaze illuminated the fence opposite. Still shrouded in shadow, Leo dropped to his haunches, staying still. The glare had missed him by a few feet.
Fuckwit! They'll know your favorite spots. You walked right into a trap.
Leo breathed out, his eyes wide. He glanced back down the alleyway, but the lights on the other end concealed nothing. He would be a sitting duck if he ran.
Go back! No, stay. Stay still.
A figure stepped before the vehicle, breaking the beams and spraying Leo's damp eyes with flecks of stray light. Backlit, the young boy saw nothing but a tall silhouette. He thanked his decision to stay put. Any movement would have given him way in an instant. Leo? The boy froze at the mention of his name. The flesh on his arms became rigid with goose flesh, and the hairs on the back of his neck stood on end. He felt his rump clench, and his mouth open in shock. Staring at the figure, it was like all of his willpower to remain in that position and not topple onto the concrete. Another pulse of pain stabbed at his brain. He felt cold sweat trickling down his back.
Leo? Leo?
The voice was softer this time, flecked with concern and containing a hint of warmth. Of familiarity. Leo recognized it. The dulcet tones, riddled by a trademark smoker's gurgle. It had read him stories and sang him to sleep on many occasions. It had scolded him in his younger, less disciplined years and bid his mother farewell every morning since he could remember. The kiss, pat on the butt, the smile in his direction. Well, until a year ago anyway. Dad?
Leo? Son, where are you?
Why is Dad here? He's come to save you. Leo found himself standing, his motion affected by the presence of his second parent, like DNA going to work. A child could never ignore their father, and with his mother gone, he had nothing else. His response was automatic. The silhouette flicked its head, and it looked in Leo's direction.
There you are,
it hissed, moving towards him.
Get in the bloody car. Quick, get in the car.
Leo didn't need telling twice. He sprinted to his father and paused for a second. Do I hug him? Or cuddle him? Or fist bump like boys do? Before doing nothing and clambering into the passenger seat. He shrunk into the soft cushion, keeping himself low and out of sight. The soft surface eased his headache somewhat. Seconds later, his father climbed into the car, flicked the keys, and started the vehicle.
Stay down and hide, you hear?
Leo nodded. His father reversed the vehicle, took two rights, and pulled out into the Maidstone Road, the spine of the town. Leo watched the routine streetlights pass in silence. The roll of the vehicle and the murmur of the tires the only soundtrack to his escape.
You had me worried, Leo. Fancy running away like that.
Leo said nothing. He simply stared from the window with tired eyes. The adrenaline in his system began to subside. He pushed his hot cheek against the wooden decoration of the door. Getting comfortable.
You'll have your mother worried, you know that?
I doubt that. The boy responded.
Why wouldn't she be?
You'll see, Dad.
You should call her. He held out his mobile phone. Let her know you're okay.
No.
Do as you're told, his father spat.
No, there's no point. Albeit defiant, standing up to his father scared Leo.
He clenched again, ready for the shouting. Tears were flowing now.
No wonder they told me not to get attached, his father grumbled. The comment was lost to Leo, who remained silent.
The car turned a corner, pushing the boy against the door. As it straightened up, he recognized his road and his house at the end of the block. Several long vehicles were parked outside, angled into a roadblock. People in dark suits milled about, going back to their business. Leo shuffled in his seat. Worry creeped into his veins.
Dad, we need to go back.
Why?
Those people, they...
It's fine.
No! No, no, no!
What's the matter?
You don't understand. They killed Mom!
His father turned to him,
a smile on his face.
I know.
Leo felt his stomach drop as they came to a halt. His father smiled, pinched his cheeks a little too hard, and exited the vehicle. He slammed the door, which jostled Leo in his seat. The silence in the car was deafening. Seconds later, the passenger door opened. Cold air billowed into the warm cab before two strong arms removed Leo from within.
Get off me! Get off me!
The man stood Leo up, moved him around the bonnet, and stood him in the middle of the street, inches from his father. He glanced around for help, looking for any residents of the street, but no one came. No one answered. Twitching curtains remained closed, and ignorance was bliss of the public. Leo felt hot tears rolling down his face, and he realized what was happening. The magnitude of the sickening situation dawning on him. No one was going to help him. Don't get lured in by them, you hear? They killed Mom. I know.
Here's your payment, Mr. Wilson. $100,000 for the collection of the boy, as promised.
$100,000? The man laughed incredulously. He rubbed his chin, the stubble rasping in the darkness.
No, no, no. I want $200,000. The original amount was fine before I had to do your dirty work.
Dirty work?
This, he said, pointing to Leo. He massaged the thick envelope in his hand. Your men had difficulty performing the simplest of tasks. Collecting a small child from a woman. I had to do that for you. You fucked up the plan. I mean, who shoots a boy's mother and then expects him to stay put? Ludicrous. Fine, fair enough. I see your point.
The man shot a disapproving glance at his men. Take the money. We'll reimburse you for your trouble in due course, via the normal channels. Excellent. Going forward, due to your emotional attachment to the child, I assume you have no issue with our strict protocols.
Protocols?
Oh. How you handle the subjects? Nah, you take them whenever you want. Sell him to whoever wants him, whoever can make the most of his abilities. He's been nothing but a blight in my life. Good riddance.
The figure nodded, a smile etched on his wrinkled face. Leo watched the man's teeth gleam in the streetlight and felt his stomach churn.
Finally, he vomited onto the street. The man holding him back didn't release him. Leo felt himself retch and buck in his vice-like grip. A strange throbbing feeling beginning to boil in his stomach, adding to the dull pain in his skull. His bowels felt like they were on fire. The man nodded. Seems like his change is already in effect. Great timing on our part. Mr. Wilson, thank you. I'm sorry about your wife. She was a necessary casualty. Can't allow any witnesses to exist, especially when it comes to Operation Phoenix. You understand, I hope. Collateral damage, say no more. Our marriage was a front, but you saved me a hefty divorce from the miserable bitch. I should be paying you. No, that'd be inappropriate considering our delicate business arrangement. Indeed. I'm glad that I'm on your payroll.
He held up the envelope and waved it, smiling.
Goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
The man shook his hand and turned away, followed by his men. Leo groaned in pain and stared at his father, a man he loved and idolized, a man he saw as the Almighty, a man who was indestructible to his young, adoring eyes, and felt his heart break. The tears streamed, and his brain throbbed.
Another yelp escaped his lips as his stomach began to burn.
Hugh was only 11, but the betrayal added to the interior agony and tore at his insides like barbed wire. They're persuasive and cunning and relentless. Dad? Don't get close. Don't listen to a word they say.
Dad!
But his father ignored his pleas, turned away in a hurry and climbed back into his vehicle. Without a hint of goodbye, he reversed away and drove off, the car disappearing behind that bend in a strobe of red lights. Leo was alone. His guard yanked him up by the shoulders, pushed him ahead towards the vehicles. After a moment, they climbed into the back of a van. The rear door closed, the engine revved, and after everyone had settled into their seats, the vehicle pulled away. Leo wiped his face, sticky vomit and tears slicking his cheeks and chin. He looked up at the men before him, the figures from earlier that night. They smirked as they observed their captive, content they've won. After a moment, they jumped at his gaze, a hint of fear on their shadowy faces. They whispered to one another quickly as they moved sideways, hushing their conversations behind open hands. Leo caught two words, but was lost at the foreign dialect. El Diablo. Leo closed his eyes.
The game for the men was over. They'd caught him. He thought about the woman in the farmhouse and his own mother. Mindless murder for the sake of what?
Operation Phoenix? Whatever that was.
He knew they had blood on their hands because of it, and that the men were evil, but he didn't know what drove them to it.
He did notice that they were keeping their distance, though, watching him with overt caution.
He buckled in pain. It felt like fire was burning his insides, and his skull felt like it was going to explode. He held his right arm out before him. He saw the skin wobble and pulse, saw the muscle beneath extend and widen, change shape. Black hairs appeared, pushing out from his pores, and Leo felt a slight tingle as his body morphed before his disbelieving eyes. In his peripheral vision, he saw the men moving away.
The hell? What the hell? The eldest man, appearing from a sliding door at the front of the van, walked forward and stroked Leo's cheek. He smiled. Leo, my boy, welcome home. It's time for you to go to work.